What's up, fam? Welcome to the Manga Bros Podcast, the weekly, bi-weekly One Piece Manga Bros Podcast. And this time we got a guest, Edie Anime. What up, dude?
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, man, the champ. That intro, but I just didn't even care today. Like, it is what it is. We're talking about Arlong Park, and that's what we're here to talk about. You guys don't care about the intro anyways.
Oh, greatness. I'm here.
Basically, for those that don't know, and I kind of gave you the rundown before the show, the One Piece Manga Bros Podcast we go through, we're not going to, or at least we're going to try our best not to. We're going to avoid spoiling you. So if you're reading along with us, or you're watching along with us, you're probably safe. We haven't had any real slip-ups yet, at least, you know, as far as I have found.
We're due.
It won't happen today.
Yeah. So I guess going into it, right, I started reacting to the series on my main channel about 2 years ago. Boom started reacting to it about a year and a half ago, I think, something like that.
Yeah.
Sione's kind of our resident, like, he started watching back during the Four Kids dub era kind of thing. What about you? When did you start watching? Like, was it with reactions? Was it back in the day?
Oh, no, it was 2018, I want to say. 2018, this summer. Just flew through it. I think it was around 850 episodes out right now, and it was a couple months it took, I think. Yeah, that summer. Just flew through One Piece.
In the whole summer?
A lot of time. Yeah. A lot of time. Doing nothing but watching One Piece. So. Yeah, jeez. It was quite an amazing journey, though. Like, yeah, like, as soon as I got to this arc, it was over. One Piece had me.
And now I know that, like, you know, I know you do like reactions and stuff, and you do things around One Piece. Now, what, like, at what episode count was it that you started doing that? Do you remember?
No, I do not. It wasn't 800s, though. It wasn't 800s, though. Yeah, for sure. Like, I think it was, like, mid-800s as well. Like, late. Yeah. Like, 860, 870, maybe. All right. Around that time.
So, Sione, you are. So far, I think we've only had one guest that, Tekking, is the only one, I think, that had watched it before you.
I mean, I'm not surprised, but, like, you know, I also, at that point, like, I got to, like, I think, after Dressrosa, and then I was just like, I'm done. I need a break.
Like, I'm gonna wait for it to catch up.
Yeah,
that breather.
It got fun. I enjoyed it.
I'm sure we'll get into that.
Of the week.
I do want to ask, since you actually started like 2018 and it was so far into the series, like, what made you go ahead and decide to like just like dive into it? Like, what?
It was a friend, actually. I never wanted to touch One Piece. You know, I was a Naruto, Bleach, Dragon Ball kind of guy. You know what I'm saying? Okay. After I first watched those, I watched those over again and over again. Those are the only things I watched. But my friend eventually said he was caught up and said that I should check it out. It's really good. I was just never interested in the stretchy guy. I don't know. just something about him just stretching. I was like, nah, I don't want to watch that.
I talked about it too. Like, I didn't like Luffy's design when I was younger. I was like, he looks stupid. I ain't gonna watch that.
Yeah.
So what arc was it that hooked you? Like, was it Arlong Park?
It was Arlong. Actually, I'm actually rereading. Well, re-experiencing, because I only watched the anime. Now I started reading the manga for the first time. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so good, though. It's so good and refreshing. And it's the color manga, too. So I actually, this might be the best experience, the best way to experience One Piece for me. I ain't gonna lie. Like, so, the color manga has just been great.
So what I need to bring up here, and it might not work, but I just want to find out. So I was doing the same thing when we started doing the Manga Bros, because we did the same thing. Yeah. We've all seen the anime. None of us have read the manga, so we're going back and doing it. And I started with the color manga, and they were ranting about the black and white. And then we got Faxity, and Faxity was ranting about the black and white. And then finally I was like, all right, I'm going to give it a shot. And I switched to the black and white, and I don't fucking know how, because I usually prefer
it's
color.
Different.
There's something about it.
I don't know how to explain it,
but I refuse to go back to the color. Like, you might end up liking the color more. I don't know, but I would try it, because they made me. Yeah. I got bullied into, and now I can't go back.
Work. Because
the current... go check out Buggy. Like,
there's something with
that
the shading, like the way he
like
does it.
Orange Village or whatever.
Yeah, check it out.
He looks like a fucking monster in black and white compared to like the color one.
That's actually crazy, though, because the current arc right now, that's when I started reading the manga as well. That's why I picked up, like, you know, the black and white manga week to week. And I just never got that feeling. Once I saw color on my screen, I was like, this is it. This is the way to experience One Piece. And it's definitely been great, though. Wow.
Oh, I definitely have a big portion that I want us to talk about for sure, about like what we think in comparison to like the manga to the anime of this arc. But I guess let's just dive into like how the arc opens, right? We have the crew kind of making their way off to Kokoyashi Village, and massive bomb drops that I didn't realize how quickly they come in. Was it Johnny or Yosako? I think Johnny's the one with them at this point. You know, we get them bringing up the seven warlords of the sea.
Yep.
Yeah.
Out the gate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like immediately. I think it was like literally page two. You're not taking this serious. He's like, that dude you just saw. There's six more of those motherfuckers.
Yeah, six more. Yeah. it's a huge mountain out there to climb.
Yeah. I love it. And Luffy just not caring at all. Like just no fucks given at all in any way. He's just like, okay, I'm not scared. I'm not worried about it.
Yeah. It happens, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I like that, like, at this point, too, because, like, where all of us are in the story, like, you know, we're post-time skip. We see how serious he's become after, well, all that stuff that happened before the time skip. And seeing him still, like, well, aloof compared to, like, everything now with, like, even the little bit of knowledge, it honestly feels like a different story this early on. Like it honestly just feels like a completely different world.
I did think that as well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It feels like a more lighthearted, like more innocent adventure, as weird as that sounds.
And
obviously it quickly changes. And I feel like, especially as the show progresses, it just gets more and more.
And the thing is, they brought up Jinbei as well, which I remember somebody said that like he ends up being in the anime like super early on, or like the outline, like the way they did with like, you know, the emperors or whatever. So it's like Fishman comes up already, like Jinbei comes up,
I was like wow, this early, like they're already
that's the crazy thing, right? Is like, you know, without spoiling anything in specifically, right, like One Piece just does that thing where you'll get a name drop, and I'm sure like if you're reading along with us, you probably didn't really think much of Jinbei, and none of us did either at that point. Yeah. You know? 'Cause, I mean, all of the names we get throughout the series up to this point, like Oda does such a good job of making, he doesn't just introduce characters for the sake of introducing them. If he introduces you to somebody, there's a fucking reason for it.
You know, it's like I talked about it before. It's Chekhov's gun. Like, no matter, like, whatever they put in there is going to be used in some way, shape, or form. So always pay attention to it. Because, like, I mean, early on, you don't realize how Oda tells a story. And you don't realize that it's going to show up 500 chapters, episodes, whatever, later, from now. And it's going to mean anything. Because early on, you just be like, oh, Jinbei, like, all right, he's a badass dude, apparently. Because he's one of the warlords. No big deal. Not realizing, like, the ramifications or whatever. So like, I don't know. The more I read the manga as we go along too, and especially after seeing certain arcs revisiting Fish or Arlong Park, like it God, it's such a different feel, man. Like I don't know. I wish I could have that feeling
as well. Like I haven't like rewatched any of the arcs even during like my anime journey, going back and rewatching. So this is like the first time after years, and it's completely different. It's completely different noticing the little things over again. So,
we get our first bounty reveal. Arlong's 20 million berry bounty.
Which they conveniently
show not long after they mentioned that Jinbei and Arlong were equals, which I thought was kind of interesting. But that kind of gets something set up there to talk about. And then obviously we just get the typical, like, you know, Luffy being nuts. We start to see the underhandedness. We get to see Arlong for the first time. We see that he's working with the Marines and kind of continuing that the Marines are shit.
It's still just that panel. I remember, dude,
that panel is amazing when we first see Arlong standing there.
Him sitting in panel, the chair. It's so
like a
good
beast. He's just way bigger than everybody else.
Well, it's kind of amazing, like,
especially with color.
Yeah, it's just it like showing, like, dude, like emits strength, right? Like, literally, you can tell he is the boss.
Yeah,
just by him sitting there. Also, I love that Nozomi is the rat. It's such a you know, that one's like, he, you know, sometimes he's subtle about his metaphors and his connections and stuff, but making the captain an actual rat is a little on the nose.
I also kind of like that, like, I just in general, honestly, with this arc as a whole, it very much, I feel like, set the tone for so much to come, right? Like,
yeah,
we saw Zoro and Sanji kind of butting heads a lot, you know, something that continues throughout the series. Like, it's just, we see kind of the start of that. We see everything with Nami. Like, we see the kind of person that Nami is, and you see, like, that this stuff is starting to get to her. You kind of see her pirate nature, but you also see that she kind of has the nature of a pirate, but at the same time, she doesn't. Like, and she does kind of give off similar vibes as, like, Luffy, who, like, he's a pirate, but he's not a scumbag. You know, he's...
It's almost like she's having an internal battle in the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really is, yeah. And that's what obviously led her to leave Baratie and all that. Actually, this arc made me really like Nami, though. Like, when I was rereading... Yeah. Mm-hmm. I must have probably turned off my brain or something like that when I first watched it, but like, well, rereading this, I'm like, damn, Nami is pretty damn good as a character in this arc.
I think
Arlong Park really kind of, like you mentioned, kind of like shows, I think this is the arc that best shows the future of One Piece. I think it kind of like consists of everything that we see later on in the series, you know. I think it's the most complete. In a sense, I think even now, Arlong Park is still one of my favorite arcs. Yeah, you know,
it kind of brings
everything into it, you know?
Yeah, it's just a giant emotional roller coaster, but it's also there is so many important moments, you know
moments,
what I mean?
Like
the Fishman Pirates are such an important factor.
The lore,
I mean, obviously, Nami is a huge part of the story. I mean, we see that obviously as it goes down. And I feel like that was pretty obvious from the beginning. I mean, shit, the volumes had her all over the cover before she like officially joined anything like that. But. Yeah. There's just so many things, and like seeing the strength, right? Like, because the whole premise is that these are the Fishman Pirates that came from the Grand Line, right? Like, they're in the East Blue, but these are Grand Line Pirates. Yeah. And seeing like Sanji take down the Grand Mumu, this Grand Line thing, right? Because you've seen Luffy do it. It's like, okay, this is a Luffy thing to do. I'm not that surprised. Luffy, the captain, but Sanji's like, no, I need to flex real quick.
Yeah,
like, y'all need to know
just
that
joining,
I don't
just
fuck
joining
around.
That
just handles
them
so easily.
The neck meat kick,
dude,
which is apparently, I love like this special asterisk that Oda was make sure that way you know Collier was neck meat.
I love
and I appreciate it because it looks like he kicked him in the neck. So,
like, you just look at the little asterisk underneath like the panel, and he's just like explaining like what it is, and you're just like, I love that. Like,
I will say one of my favorite things because it blends through the entire arc where, since it is like the Nami arc, right? It's focusing on her and all that. Like, I feel like this is the first one too where a lot of like the sadness is still told through the present as opposed to like a flashback, right? The flashback. Like the arcs seem to center more on like the strife during the present as opposed to like, you know, oh, it's such a sad story back in the day, you know, Sanji on the island and stuff like that, starving. Whereas like, yo, she's still going through it now.
Yeah,
like we're trying to get her out of this mess.
Yeah, and you see, like, Arlong, right? We got Krieg in the last arc, and obviously Krieg is, like, this ruthless guy who uses these dirty underhand tricks, and he's a scumbag, he's a piece of shit. But we don't directly ever see him do that, right? Like, we don't ever sacrifice his crew, but we've seen Buggy do that. We've seen a lot of the pirates do that. We haven't really seen somebody go on the level of a rampage that Arlong did, especially in like at the most minor of things, right? Which obviously is fueled by his hatred for humans. And it's just like, he is just such a monster. Like there's the one moment where I think he walks up to, Gozo is the village. Genzo? I think his name is
Genzo.
And that's when we actually see, because like we see Arlong chilling in his chair, but you don't realize how big he fucking is. He's standing
see,
next
like,
to them.
Yeah, and you had like Usopp peeking around the corner and saying like, "That's Arlong. He's a monster." Arlong is definitely at this point in time. I mean, I guess like excluding Mihawk, maybe you know, is our first like savage character on the screen right now, you know, especially the things that we see during his during the flashback, and he was ruthless. He was ruthless, and I think this arc,
he's also the first bad guy that like is just out strengthening everybody else, right? Like, dude's able to out muscle like Buggy. Yeah. Buggy was able to break apart, right? And but Arlong's literally just able to stand toe to toe, take the punch, and then actually punch back as well. Yeah. So. You know, it's
he's fueled so much by the hatred too. Like,
his mentality towards humans is
See, like, if you look at the other Fishman pirates, like when they talk about Goza, right? Like when he starts to go on his rampage, like a few of them bring up and they're like, yo, like we already lost all the money from Goza. Like, yo, this is how we make money. This is our cash cow. Calm the fuck down, dude. Yeah. And he's just like, his anger can't handle it. Like to him, it's like, your money's not worth it to me if you don't stay in line. And that's kind of his thing. And it's funny because if I feel like if he was able to pull that back, he probably if he could have strategized a bit more instead of letting his anger take hold, I think Arlong would have been a way more terrifying villain than he was.
That's why I
scary to think about.
That's why I don't call Arlong a villain. The first villain is in like a few arcs from now where, you know, Mr. He has a hook. So those that know. But he is the first one I actually consider the first villain of One Piece. Arlong to me is still a bad guy for literally what you just said. This man could own the East Blue. Like he can outpower almost anyone.
Yeah.
He's got the numbers, he's got the base, he's got the ships, he's got Moo Moo. Like, you know, he's got things in the sea that he can take care of.
I mean, he's got all the maps too.
I mean, he said how easily the fishmen can destroy the ships.
Yeah.
I mean,
and they show it.
Fast forwarding a little bit, I mean, Hachi moving an entire fucking reef.
Yep.
Just to like be like, nah, y'all don't leave here. You know, like we can swim. Y'all on land.
Y'all can.
You're here. You know, and it's like that does give them such a severe advantage.
Yeah. Well, it was like Chu took off the rudders of it. And like the other, I can't remember the other one's name like ever, dude. And then, like he was the one that pushed it, right? Like he pushed an entire ship.
Yeah.
Which is just insane. Like when you're pushing a ship against water, that is a giant naval ship.
Yeah. I mean, the strength gap, like going from somebody like Krieg, who was our strongest dude at that point, having Mihawk, you know, kind of flexing. But then Arlong comes in and just is like, nah, you guys don't know what strength is.
Krieg was more of an equipment guy, though. He relied on
equipment and dirty tactics. Yeah.
You know,
Arlong's raw strength.
Yeah. It's all raw on him.
Mm-hmm. But I think that's what made it everything so impactful, though, because, you know, in theory, like they are stronger than the Straw Hats. Like the Straw Hats did kind of have to find ways to kind of, you know, strategize at certain points. Right. Like Usopp. I feel like that's Usopp the one or, thing like or, Usopp.
Yeah,
I feel
Usopp
like
it's, is definitely the one. Ahead.
Yeah, like he gets brushed to the side, I feel like, in this arc because of how much happens. But like. Usopp really, like, this is the first time we see Usopp, like, actually step up and succeed, right? Like,
and it was definitely surprising, too, I have to say. It was definitely, he took one fight, just took him all the way, you know, away from everybody else and tried to handle it himself.
Can we just say the savagery of that man? He set him on fire and then almost beat him to death with a hammer.
But the best scene in not just the anime, but also the manga, Usopp hammer, Usopp hammer, Usopp hammer, Usopp hammer, Usopp hammer, Band of Doom, Usopp hammer. Like, he's like, I need to throw that in there.
He was going off.
I mean, you think about it, right? But like, imagine being in his shoes, right? That's probably what anybody in his case would do, right? I have the Fishman down. I know for sure that I can't outclass. I need to make sure this motherfucker stays down.
I mean, he's got that range attack too, like whatever the spit thing is or whatever, right? Because it's the one he kept smacking his lips or doing the kiss sound or whatever. I was like, I could even hear it in my head every time like it'd show up. And it's like, bro, like, that's a little sus, but all right. Like,
and then obviously like we have the whole thing with Nami. Right, Nami going, they lock Zoro up, she lets him out, and then just the absolute, like, this is the thing that I forgot about until I went back and read it, but each one of the Straw Hats had such a fucking Chad moment. Like, like Zoro just breaks out, and it's like, he could have left, but no, he took every fish man down off screen and then just sat in Arlong's chair and is like, I guess I'll wait for them. Like, yeah. No.
That was my favorite part. And then managed to get a ride with the other guy.
With Hachi.
Yeah. It's like beating the shit out of your friends and then I'm just going to still help this guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
No, go ahead.
No, you know, you go. This is the next scene.
Oh, no. I was going to move on to the next scene. Go ahead.
So. I wanted to ask a question. Obviously, like, you know, we all watched the anime, but we, other than Sione, who watched it during the Four Kids dub, like, all of us watched it when there was already at least 800 to 900 episodes out, right? And what if you guys are reading the manga along with us in the podcast, clearly there's 1,000-something chapters. So in the moment where Nami snaps and stabs Usopp, what did you guys fall for it? Because I was in that moment where I'm like, I know she drives a car. Like, I thought she did, but I thought she maybe like got him in a specific way.
I know. So are you talking about when we first saw it in the anime?
Yeah. Yeah. For the first time saw it. Like, obviously we knew here, but the first time
I honestly
time saw
thought it was like a catch up something. Like he had like a blood ball that was like filled with ketchup that she hit.
I was like anticipating like a tangerine or something. Like back
just something.
And I don't even fucking remember, but like when I like, because it's been so long since I've seen
orange
that
blood
scene. Like, I was for some reason like, I was like, I don't remember her stabbing him. Like, what did she do?
You
like,
probably
like,
were watching the Four Kids dub, and she probably didn't stab him.
Do we know?
They probably cut that whole scene out. It's probably why
you
don't
remember. I actually didn't know how crazy the Four Kids dub compared to the actual thing people on stream were telling me about. It's crazy.
Along Park is probably like some of the biggest changes they made.
Yeah.
The entire like thing.
Mm-hmm. But no, I definitely didn't think she stabbed him. You know, but to see what actually happened actually definitely surprised me.
Yeah. So the thing I was curious about, because the reason that I was thinking about it the most is that I felt like in the anime it didn't feel like something that would happen, and I don't remember what it was, but when we were looking at it, I don't remember if this is how the anime looked, but this face that she gave,
panels were
absolutely that was the moment where like I was reading this and I was like, oh my God, because that doesn't even look like acting like that, and I don't know if she looked like that in the anime, but that shit, like seeing Nami with that evil look in her eye, like, dude, that shit gave me chills.
And also, just a shout out on this arc. I feel like this arc, Oda made like a huge step forward in his art.
Mm-hmm.
Like the way Luffy looked mad a lot of the times, and Nami's emotion and stuff like that. It felt like the art in this one exceeded everything else that had actually come out. Like. Dude looked like he spent way more time on this one. I'm not saying the other ones are bad. They're fantastic as well. Mm-hmm. But this is just like another level, it felt like, in this one. Especially like that scene you just showed with Nami. Because I think that's like the one in the anime with like her eyes lighten up real, like, you know, they get way bigger, but like the eyes lighten up and it's like a glare, a stare, and it always has like that music that punctuates it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Which, do you guys hear the music when you're reading this as well? Like when it gets to like a part you remember, do you hear the soundtrack?
Yeah.
No.
Really?
I don't. The walk though. Yeah. That's just like instant. Instant.
I know we're skipping ahead with that, but like I can't say this enough. If you are a manga only reader, you need to watch the walk to Arlong Park in the anime. Like There's definitely moments, like we've talked about this, the first arc in the manga, and I stand by this, the first chapter way fucking better than the first episode of the anime. And there's a lot of moments in the manga that definitely outshine, handle the pacing better, like are really good. Yeah. But I will say, I feel like a lot of the moments in Arlong Park, to me at least, as good as it was in the manga, I feel like there's just a lot of those moments you just need to see here with the voice acting. Like, it is such a special arc.
Yeah. And that sold it.
I was going like back and forth between the manga and on the reread. Yeah, I was going back and forth because I definitely wanted to re-experience, you know, the really the great scenes during the anime.
The walk in the anime just like
specifically,
it sells the emotion like way better in the manga, unfortunately. I feel like, I mean, don't get me wrong, that panel where he's like, let's go, and they're all like, yup. Mm-hmm. And it's still really good, but
honestly, bro, like this there's two times during this arc that I was brought to tears.
Yeah. Oh, same. You know what's crazy? I actually shed tears on the reread.
Hey, yep. Same.
I'm sitting here with my phone and it's just happening. I was like, damn, what is going on?
Room by yourself, crying.
It's the first time I've cried, man, during a manga. There was a moment that came up and I was like, damn, I remember like crying when I watched this, and I was like, and I was thinking about it and I was like, damn, if the music came on, I'd probably like tear up, but like, I don't think it's going to happen with the manga. And then a few chapters later and I just fucking, all right, well, okay.
It just hits. Here now.
Hat, it just hits.
The hat scene got me, man.
And the flashback got me too. I'm not going to lie. The flashback got me too. The flashback.
Where are we at? Can we talk about the flashback?
We're pretty much right there. Like, where we caught up. Okay. I mean, obviously, we've jumped around a bit, but pretty much, like, right before we get the flashback is, like, Nojiko saying, hey, you know, I want to tell you about it. And I kind of loved Luffy's little passive comment that we don't really realize it until now, but it becomes a common trait. It's him just being like, I don't care. I don't care about her past and walks away. Yeah. Okay. And he's like, I've already decided she's a good person. I've already decided she's on my crew. Like, I don't need to know.
Zoro actually said the same thing, and he passed.
Yeah, he went to sleep. He said he would listen. He's like, I'll listen, and then passed out gold.
Dude, Luffy just fell asleep in the middle of the road. Like, I don't. What's the thought process behind that? He was like, "Here's good enough. Fuck it."
I mean, it's weird how similar him and Zoro are, right? Like, they're so different.
Yeah,
but it's they also are so similar in just the way that the crew. And I don't know if it's that they're similar or if Zoro just has that just shakeable. Luffy said it. That's what we're doing. Like, I don't know what it is, but it's
Zoro is Luffy without the naivete. I feel Zoro is the one that kind of still second guesses people when it comes. Like, Luffy's like, hey, she. They even like kind of, I think, do that later on where when she finally joins, like, Luffy's like, let's go, and Zoro's like, she still might fuck us over. So it definitely feels like Zoro is that back of Luffy's brain that it definitely says, like, maybe look twice, please.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just playing defense the whole time.
I mean, the mentality between Zoro and Luffy, I mean, like, even most of the Straw Hats crew, like, this arc was, they weren't even involved, like, a lot until shit started going down with Nami. And then it's like, all right.
Yeah.
All right, boys. You know, it was so interesting to see them kind of just like, I want to say, like, take like a backseat role for a little bit.
No, they did. I feel that too. Yeah.
They kind of just arrived and we're like, we'll chill out.
I'm ready to fight. We'll take a nap. But then, hey, when it's time to fight, we fight. We really did, like, just we full send the focus on Nami and all the new characters that we, you know, got introduced to, Genzo and Nojiko and Arlong too. So that was actually really good, though. That was definitely really good choice to just explore Nami's character, like, and it definitely paid off because
a couple times that Luffy even asked Nami, like, do you need help or anything, and like,
yeah, at the beginning, I don't need your help, get out of here.
Yeah, he was like back in the town, she's like, what are you doing here?
And I like how also I think before Nojiko was telling the Straw Hats about the flashback, she runs into Nami, I think, in the house, and she says something on the lines of, oh, these are your friends, and this is like the worst outcome to happen, or something like that. It was along one of those lines.
Nami destroyed. She went on a rampage, and like destroyed the house. And Nojiko was you destroyed again. And it was the same thing. Once Nami passed out, she was just kind of like,
yeah, she was sleeping. She's like, yeah, I know.
Friends. She's like, that's what hurts her the
worst thing.
The quote that got me was, she told Nami, she said, I once knew a child who faced a life worse than death and chose to live anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
So, like,
I mean, it's the end of the day, right? It's because you think about her age. So at this point in the story, Nami is 18, I believe, or 19.
She's a year older than Luffy.
Yeah, and she's a year younger than Luffy. So she's 18. This is 8 years ago. So she's 10 years old, right? So it's like, we see the backstory. We see Bellamere. It's like, okay, so she was born in, we know about Oikot Kingdom that was bombed and blown up. I don't remember if they specify who did it, but the point is that, like, her kingdom was fucking destroyed and Nojiko, saved her, and then Bellamere saved her and went back. And, like, not only, like, Bellamere laying on the ground about to accept death, and gets up and is like, no, because she hears the baby crying, and then going back and knowing that a 10-year-old girl had to watch her you know, her mother gets shot in the face, which if you're watching the anime, she gets shot in the chest. They censored a lot of random shots.
That's what I noticed too. They change a lot of the gruesome moments, I think. When I was rereading, I was like, damn.
They even show like the way they do it in the panel underneath where you still kind of see like the blood splatter, but still like a different angle or a different picture as well. Like, God, like that's so freaking brutal. It feels way more brutal than if they would have actually like just showed that. Right. Like that weirder perspective on it was although in the four kids dub, like he had like a foam finger pointing at her chest or whatever, and then like put her in the dungeon. So it's like, bro, I'm telling you guys, like, it's actually one of my favorite lines in One Piece, where he was like, if you don't have the cash, you're out with the trash and feel free to quote me. It's like, bro, like Arlong Four Kids is peak.
I need to go watch that again.
I beg you, check it out.
I just can't imagine watching an arc like this and like trying to turn it into comedy.
I was very confused.
I don't think it's supposed to be funny on purpose, though.
No, like, I don't think it is either. It's just I think the problem is like it's almost hard to lighten up something that's this dark, right? Yeah. Like because there is so many real moments. Like I talk about it a lot with One Piece that it's so odd because it is such this weird, quirky, weird fucking world with crazy boats and crazy powers. There's giants and there's this and there's rubber men and there's, you know, all these crazy weird things that, you know, aren't realistic at all, right? But then you have the seriousness of it, the politics aspect of it, a single mother who can't afford to feed her kids.
The oppression. You know,
the oppression pushed on them and like all of this stuff. And like even feeling so bad for Bellemere, who's, you know, she's trying so hard to like give everything for them. And like Nami being a 10-year-old kid and being like, oh, you know, yelling at her face, like, I wish I'd been found by rich people. Like she's 10 years old. It's not like she's trying to be mean. It's like it's a kid doesn't understand at that point. And it's so fucking sad. But then like you said,
real.
Like a fate worse than death. Like imagine a 10-year-old girl being literally kidnapped by pirates, tattooed like, you are on our crew, you are now forced here, like you're gonna do this, like, oh, we'll pay you, but like you're here now. And then, you know, being betrayed by your entire everybody, you know, because they're like, how could you do that? And it's like, she's fucking 10, bro. What was she supposed to do? She's gonna fight back?
Like, yeah, not only that, she was very self-aware of the situation too.
Yeah,
you know, when they first brought her in and said, you join, you know, join us, she goes back to the village and says, everything is okay, I joined Arlong and them, and everybody's snapping at her. He's like, why are you doing this? Why would you join them? And they're, you know, angry, you know. And but yeah, as a 10-year-old doing, you know,
to make
acknowledging a situation and making that choice, it was tough.
Yeah.
Tough to see on screen.
And closing it out, like with the Bellemere situation, like that, I that shit fucked me up. Like that scene is what got me. Where
there was tears on that one, for sure.
I will not pretend like I don't have these girls. Like these are my children, and I'm not going to pretend otherwise.
I would have been lying like a motherfucker, though. I've been like, I don't have any kids. I've been like, in the woods for like a week.
But I think Bellemere, like being, you know, somebody that was from the Navy that almost died, that has probably, I would assume, have dealt with very strong pirates before. Like I think that she was I think she understood that they were not just stopping by and never coming back. I think she was under the impression, and I think she knew, like, if she did that at that point, she'd already made the payment for her and not the girls. And you know that Arlong and them would not have hesitated to kill Nojiko and Nami. The only reason Nami is alive is, you know, one, because Bellemere paid, and two, because Nami was good at making maps.
And see, like, once again, like, also, I want to point out Bellemere, like, the roll move of knocking Arlong down and then, like, the gun in his face as soon as he got in the doorway.
It was so clean. She's on his chest, barrel in the mouth. Oh, my goodness.
The kick, was savage. The kick she did.
The kick was crazy.
Like, you gotta remember how tall this man is.
The kick was crazy.
But no, and that goes to show, too, like, the brutality of Arlong. Because I actually don't remember this scene in the anime where he was talking about, like, all the townspeople he actually killed because they couldn't pay. And they actually showed, like, bodies in the street, right?
Yeah,
I don't remember the anime actually showing that he killed anyone else other than her. So yeah. Like, I don't know, it actually kind of like sold the whole idea of like how brutal this dude is, because yeah. Also, like, there are literal bodies they're gonna like, have to clean out of the houses now.
Yeah, like while they were actually crying, it kind of just hit on how brutal Arlong was as well, because right as soon as it ends, you know, they're crying, he just points the gun and it's over.
Yeah.
Just right in front of the kids, right in front of everybody.
And seeing and Genzo, finally figuring out what the stitches all over his body are, he went through, out about the pinwheel and like what the pinwheel signified, and then ironically enough, Luffy's obsession with the pinwheel. Which I feel like just kind of showed how childlike he bro. He like, I'm about that.
I think that was like one of the biggest payoffs in the entire arc for me as well, is like when Genzo's like, we knew what you were doing.
That was definitely the payoff.
And it's like the reassurance of like, we were letting you do it just because, like, well, for one, they didn't really have a big choice, but like, you know, it made Nami feel more self-assured that like she was doing the right thing to help the town out in this regard.
Yeah. I kind of like solidify that this whole, you know, town, it really is just a big family, you know. Even before that, I think during the flashback, they were trying to, you know, get Arlong not to go check if there was a house over there. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? They were like, I think Genzo specifically was like, we know Belmare is not going to be able to pay this, you know, for the kids. So they were trying their best not to, you know, to get them found and all that. You know, this town is definitely a big
family. He was telling the doctor, he was like, don't mention the house on the hill, and of course there's a house on the hill,
yeah,
and like,
the house on the hill,
it's like literally a panel where it looks like he's going fuck.
Well,
it's because she was cooking. That's the crazy part, they saw the smoke and it's like
cooking for her girls, you know, after the big
like
fight,
cooking for them, splurging, like she was like bringing out all the expensive stuff, like trying to like give them like the best meal, like, because, you know, in her mind, she's like, Nami just ran away upset because she didn't have rich parents. So like, let me try and make her a good meal. And it's like so sad to think that like her trying to do that thing for them is what got her found. Granted,
damn, this arc fucked me up.
That's why
I had to get on here for
and
this arc.
And it's
man.
go, 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 too.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, it's amazing pacing.
We get the backstory as soon as the backstory ends. Like, it literally ends, and then boom, fucking the fucking rat shows up.
And we
find out about Arlong's betrayal and like the Nami going into her panic and
going insane.
That bitch is raging. I hate the rat. God.
So much, bro.
Well, then, you know, it also does that whole thing too where Arlong, he's like, well, I didn't lie. I'm not the one that took her money.
Bro, that panel.
Yeah.
At the very end. Like when he grabs her fucking face and he's just like, when did I ever break my promise? You tell me. Because it's like, right? It's like he said, you get me the money, I'll let you do. But he never said, I won't take the money.
Someone else. Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's so messed up. And just Luffy, like, in that moment, that was the other time, is her trying to stab the tattoo off.
So brutal. Oh, the scream and
that's
blood
another
everywhere.
One. Like
she
when
was
I
really
whole,
going.
Yeah,
in.
Like the whole Arlong Park. Like I cannot specify. Like find the episode with the walk. Find the episode with Nami stabbing her arm and watch it. And it's one of those moments where like
it's way more visceral.
Anime pad stuff out. But I'll tell you, hearing Nami and seeing her for almost 30 seconds straight of just fucking screaming, crying, doing it, and like
chills right now thinking about it,
and then just the walk, like it's weird to think, because like the walk is in the manga, but it's not, right? Like we get that, hey, we're leaving, and they get
there, and then they're right there, it's just the most you get with the walk is
Luffy actually walking up to them while they're like sitting there, and don't get me wrong, that is a dope panel, that is so good,
but just sitting around and he's like, all right, let's go,
but it very much goes from that to like almost meeting Johnny and Yosuke at like the door
at the gate, yeah,
at the gate,
everybody
like, nah, y'all ain't coming in,
yeah. He's like, oh, they have so much trust in them. They like, hey, we got this. We know somebody that's actually going to handle this situation right here. Just wait a little bit.
Krieg, right? I mean, like, at the end of the day, Arlong's stronger than Krieg, but they know, like, if anybody's doing this,
it's them. Yeah.
But I still think that one of the best panels, or not even best panels, one of the best scenes. I forgot how savage Luffy was in this moment. Like, the way he punched open the door, the way he walks in, the guys confront nothing. Him, and he just fucking you grabs like, their heads, and you slams are them long? Together.
Yeah. Yeah. That and had first day like, of prison vibes and finding the biggest guy in the crew.
Like, doesn't even like, let him get up. Punches him away. I do want to ask. Fucking chair.
I do want to ask. Is the walk in your top 10 moments in One Piece?
Yes.
For me,
it's
it is.
Probably in my top five.
It's still so high on my list, and that's
there's the music. Well, good. It's like I said, like I'm a sucker for like music punctuating.
Yeah, this is yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, especially like if you keep the walk, because I feel like the walk and up until when Luffy punches him is just like up to the point where he's like, "You made our navigator cry,"
and they it's carry like, all that emotion all the way there. Yeah. Man.
It's just handled so well. But yeah, I would argue like in my top five, like I'd have to really think about it. But like I have a couple running around in my head that I can think of that are above the walk. But the walk is so far up there because it's just such an incredible moment.
Well, I mean, so when we're talking about the walk as well, are we talking about putting the hat on her head?
Yeah,
I think that whole scene.
That part?
Yeah,
like, that's where the walk starts.
The walk, and then just the final punch. You know, like
without
once
doubt,
they
that's
start
probably
fighting,
still top five.
Yeah, I think it perfectly embodies who the Straw Hats are, you know, as a family, I have to say, as a family, you know.
There's not a lot that beats it. On YouTube, don't call them friends, bro, because they're like, that means crewmates, what are you talking about?
So, thoughts about, so, like, obviously we talked about Mumu earlier showing up and, like, they taking him down. It's like, damn, that was a Grand Line monster, right? But then when they summon Mumu, we find out that's the monster that destroys the whole village. And we're like, oh, Sanji took that dude down. Like, oh, this is not.
And he shows up looking cracked.
Yeah, Mumu was like, do I really want to actually attack them right now?
Yeah, I felt so bad for him in the end, dude, because, like, he's got to listen to Arlong, right?
Yeah,
like,
he
is bound to listen
again.
To this man.
I mean,
and
scene with Arlong, like, when Arlong's like, are you leaving? Like, where are you going?
Yeah, where are you going? Yeah, where are you going?
He's like, nah, not today,
bro. Hit the 180. He was like, we also, like, not twice in one day, bro.
The mini adventures, too. We also get the conclusion of, you know, Buggy. Buggy gets reunited with his crew. Meets Alvida, they start their their mini crew, and then we start learning about Kobe and El Meppo. Finally, so we get a new one, which I like.
It was actually funny to see their storyline throughout the whole thing that's going on.
Doing
chores.
I didn't realize it was this early on that actually started.
They're just doing chores the whole arc.
Yeah, it was the first few chapters, like about halfway through, it changes to El Meppo Kobe, and we kind of learn, like, we get the introduction to Vice Admiral Garp. You know, we get the introduction to Axan Morgan, and Axan Morgan, like, I think he, like, grabs El Meppo. He's like, fuck you. I'm holding my son hostage. Like, no.
That was actually after he sliced Garp. Like, Garp got on there and like, dude gave him the swing. Also, wouldn't you have put, like, a rubber thing on the axe at least, like, while he was actually in custody?
You would assume something, right?
Damn pillowcase or something, please.
Oh, God. But, let me see.
Just remove the axe. That would probably be the smarter way to do it.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
There's a lot of options you can do.
No weapons.
And then we have the moment, which I still am blown away by how they managed to figure it out and how it's funny that Luffy's powers kicked in, is when Arlong threw him into the water to sink.
Oh,
and,
yes.
And they, and they had to stretch his neck out so that he could breathe. Yeah.
Could you imagine that'd be the first time you would like encounter that power, and like the neck just kept like stretching up and up while you're trying to lift
that,
him.
Yeah,
and you're like, well, I guess it's
was
working.
It was Nojiko who jumped down. Who jumped down there for?
Her
it was Nojiko,
Genzo.
Right?
Yeah.
Genzo stayed down there to like just try to like break it up.
Was Sanji and Usopp the only Straw Hats who really weren't like handicapped for this fight?
Yeah, I mean, Zoro is pretty much handicapped every goddamn arc, but yeah, I mean, pretty
forgot
much
how
like,
often he was hurt.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
every arc, bro.
Yeah. I mean, but it's also, but Zoro it kind of doesn't surprise me, right? Because I feel like, yes, in comparison to Mihawk at this point, Zoro ain't shit. But in terms of the East Blue, in terms of early Grand Line, Zoro's a beast. I mean, you know, we already know the strength of the fishmen. Zoro is so hurt still. He took down every one of the fishmen except for the main dudes. He's taken on Hachi, who has his six sword style and is also a fishman, right? Like, and I, with these wounds, just taking a beating.
I love, once again, one of the earliest setups in this freaking thing, dude. Hachi says, I'm the second best swordsman from Fishman Island. Mm-hmm. And literally 530 some episodes later, we finally see, I'm not going to say the person, but like it took that long for that reference to actually matter. Mm-hmm. And oh, like that, because I was like, no, he's not talking about who I think he's talking about, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, I looked it up and it was like, they were like, yes, yeah, kind of who he was like referring to. It's like, oh my God. Like, dude's a menace.
Oh, dude, they're insane. I mean, even like the dude uses his, what, 1,000-pound whatever on Sanji and sends him flying.
Oh, yeah.
Sanji lights
the
cigarette while still laying on the ground. And he's like, are you kidding me? That ain't shit. And then it's like, you remember, like, oh, yeah, Zeph was from the Grand Line. Like, he's been beaten by, he's been kicked in the head by some dude from the Grand Line for his, like, entire childhood. And I think it sets up how strong they all are, like how strong the Straw Hats are.
I mean, showing off the backgrounds, right? Like, like specifically where they're coming from, like the fact that Zeph beat the living crap out of Sanji the entire time, which, by the way, the SBS proved me right, because somebody asked, why not Zeph's left leg instead of his right leg? Oda's like, he's got to plant that to kick.
He's like, your kick doesn't mean nothing if you can't plant it. And I was like,
exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, also all the SBSs, it really seemed like Oda was just done with everybody's shit in each and every one, because he was like, "All right, that's enough for it today." All right.
Yeah, it definitely seemed like that.
Him drawing the gun, like literally full on drawing like a pistol, and then drawing the flint and how it works. And I was like, "Damn, man!" I was like, "I appreciate the fact that you're practicing that."
But went in.
Fucking A, that I would never in a million fucking years be able to draw a pistol, let alone draw you two different action shots and show you how exactly it works. Mm-hmm. What?
It made me realize how much time he actually spends doing the end of chapter stuff just as much as he does like drawing the manga itself.
Yeah.
I do want to say, like, are we, like, towards the end of that fight, when they finally get into her room, like, I still think those are, like, some of the most understated, like, moments of the entire arc in my thing. Like, when he finally sees the pin, it has blood on it, and he was like, he's like, come again? Like, why does the pin have blood on it? And then you just, like, see all the papers, like, of, like, how much she's drawn and in the scene of him, like, kneeling with, like, the sawtooth sword at his neck, like, oh,
well, it almost
like that,
like,
whole
made,
entire page was gnarly.
It almost like Arlong choosing to get that weapon and kind of fight his way through the building almost like reactivated Luffy's rage, right? Like, Luffy has that rage when he arrives because he's thinking about Nami, and then you have that moment where all, like, he sees this stuff and he starts rampaging again because he's getting these memories of Nami. And I don't know if you noticed, coincidentally, right around the time they make it to Nami's room and is when Nami shows up to see the fight.
Yeah.
At that time, and she sees the paper flying and the books and, like,
And
Luffy just going crazy. And then, like, my moment that I didn't realize how impactful it was until seeing the reread and really, like, analyzing it was, we saw Zoro tried to cut off Arlong's nose, and it failed. He couldn't do it.
Luffy
just fucking just breaks that shit. Just not even no hesitation. Just dropped it.
Also, I totally forgot about the part where, like, he started or he put in Arlong's teeth.
Yeah, the teeth.
Because he doesn't take shit seriously ever. Because he's just
he's like, I thought of something funny. And, like, the crowd was like, maybe he found a way to defeat Arlong. And he's like, nah, he turns around and he's just got the fucking Arlong teeth.
Yeah. It also happened when they first got there, you know, how Luffy just planted his legs in the ground and just spun around Moo Moo.
He's completely handicapped.
That's
himself.
What got him in the whole mess with fucking pool.
Yeah.
It's like, at this point, like, I love that his fighting style is still also like his own worst enemy.
Yeah, it's
like
just
that fight would have gone completely different, but they literally had to spend half of it trying to get him free underwater.
Mm-hmm.
But and it's go
it
ahead,
was
sorry.
No, it's all good. It was, dude, it was fucking ridiculous. Like, Luffy is just such a goofball. And you see it, like, Oda makes, like, mocks Luffy for being dumb so frequently. Like, I did not
realize that. SBS, he had, like, dumb, like crossed out and, like, put something else there as well.
I just don't get it. Like, because I feel like he's not. I mean, I will say, Luffy seems more naive and dumb now compared to, like, where I'm at currently. Like, he still has those goofy, like, I'm kind of dumb sometimes moments, I feel like, later on in the series. But I feel like he definitely has grown more serious as the series has gone on.
Yeah, and it's that one moment that changed it, so.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, I think, too, like, this is still showing that it's the idea. It is him being naive and a little dumb, I guess, that allows him to actually accomplish what he's currently accomplishing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we learned down the line that, like, things are definitely going to change for the worse, for the better, in different ways. But, like, right now, the fact that he doesn't know who Arlong necessarily is or how powerful he is or anything like that.
Nothing,
like,
he didn't hear anything.
He just shows up and he's like, I'm going to hit some shit. Like,
he just knows what happens to his navigator and just fueled.
I think, just that pure emotion right now, like, it does a good job of being able to carry him through whatever moment he needs to actually fight through.
Mm-hmm. I think early on he also does have just, you know, and like an instinct. He has a really good judge of character or something.
Like a drunken master kind of thing.
Yeah. He could just tell if you're a piece of shit, you know, or if you're a nice person, you know, and he just welcomes you open arms.
And then, dude, can we just talk about, like, the way they closed it? Like, so naturally. Like, you go through all that, right? They have their banquet. They all party it up. They have a good time. Like, Usopp's doing his thing where he's lying about how it all went down. Typical Usopp, right? Like, Luffy's eating all of his meat. He has an emotional moment with Genzo. And then, like, the ending, just finding out, like, Luffy getting a bounty, right? Like, we don't see the bounty, but we hear them put it in. Like, yo, get a bounty on this guy. And then the way that Nami left in just, like, perfect thief pirate fashion, like, baited them all, made them all think she was just trying to leave without saying goodbye, left them the treasure,
but stole all of it,
their wallets in the meantime.
I also love the way it drew it, too. Like, you could actually see, like, how she, instead of going straight through the crowd, she actually just, like, weaved in and out of everybody, like, pickpocketing.
I didn't realize that you could see that.
Yeah, there's like a little panel where it, like, instead of really shows her, like, actually, like, it's like she's serpentining. Yeah,
I'm curious. Let's see here. I pulled it up.
Yeah, I think it's whatever, dude. And also, I want to state, like, I don't know what, like, those shoes are made out of, but they got to be Jordans or something, because that jump from the dock to the ship,
there's the weave throughout the panel, and it actually shows her
pickpocketing.
That's so funny. I didn't notice that.
Before you guys go too far, though, there's one thing I want to bring up, and that's Luffy acknowledging his weaknesses, like, during the fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And talking about, like, I can't do this.
Right.
And I found it really interesting that he specifically said, I can't lie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Like, literally, like kind of directing that directly towards Usopp. Like, he knows Usopp lies. Like,
yeah, he knows. Yeah.
He's like, I need a liar.
On the team because I can't do it. Somebody has to do it.
Well, that's the weird part, right? Like, Usopp, Luffy has always said, right? He's brought up a fucking musician literally every single arc.
He's
mentioned needing a navigator. He's mentioned needing a cook. Like, everybody he has mentioned needing, but he never mentioned needing a sharpshooter, and I don't really even think they consider Usopp that yet, right? He is their sharpshooter, but, like, to them, it's just, he's our liar.
I
never thought about that, actually. Hold up. Damn.
The Straw Hats are actually just the extension of Luffy's personality that he doesn't have.
Yeah,
like, Usopp is the one that lies for him. Nami is the one that does the business dealings for him. Mm-hmm. Like, Zoro is the one that is, like, second guessing, right? So, like, he's able to be as aloof and silly as possible. Like, he's able to just kind of fly through everything because everyone around him is already taking care of that. Like, his entourage is, like, the one, you know, doing the work for him in the background. So I've always appreciated that, like, as far as we go. And like you said, there was the conversation with the doctor at the end of the arc where it's like, yeah, you probably want to get a doctor. And he was like, maybe a musician first.
I think music's a little more important than healing our wounds, you know? Just a thought process.
Keeping us alive, you know?
Yeah, I would sing.
I need that music.
God, also, I love the tattoo scene as well, just there at the end. Because you don't realize how important Genzo is to Nami until, like, more or less the tattoo. Like, you knew he was a part of her life, but, like, you know, that was, like, surrogate father, right? Like, he was the one to make her laugh when she was sad as a kid and stuff like that. And you could always tell him and Belmir had, like, you know, it seemed like there was something there. Like, he left the pinwheel at her tombstone and, like, walked away, like, saying, like, hey,
cared about them.
We're going to make the most of our lives now, so.
Yeah.
Like, I love, like, they actually kind of gave, like, closure to them along with, like, the rest of the crew. Like, that's what Oda does so well, especially in these arcs, is still building the world outside of, like, the Straw Hats not even being there, right? Like, it makes everything else feel lived in.
Yeah.
As opposed to everybody just being an NPC as they walk through the town.
Yeah.
Over here trying to find the damn arc thing, but whatever. But yeah, we talked about some of the small anime and manga differences. This is definitely one of the times where I would highly, highly recommend you guys go check out the anime if you haven't. At least, like I said, the walk to Arlong Park. There definitely is some moments that we didn't hit on, like, but they're dumb. Like, they're small little changes, but it seems just to, for whatever reason, make things less brutal. Like Nojiko, when they shoot Nojiko during, like, that interaction with, like, Marines and stuff. In the manga, they shoot her in the gut. In the anime, they shoot her in the shoulder. Like, it's kind of like just changes like that, right? The gun being, or them shooting Belemir in the head versus them shooting her in the chest. And things like that. Most of them are pretty just basic. There's not really much else. Just, like, small changes, like when Zoro meets Hachi and, like, Nami's wearing a shirt when she's getting treated by the doctor and getting the tattoo, but in the manga, she doesn't have a shirt on. Like, things like that. Like, just small little, like, random things they decided to censor.
Also, last, like, little, like, Zoro tidbit I enjoyed where him and Hachi were fighting. Mm-hmm. And I think it was Arlong was like, you should, or Zoro said, like, yeah, you should stay still. And he was actually talking about Hachi instead of himself. Like, you know, both of them had, like, giant, like, slashes across their chest. Yeah. And he was just being a giant smart ass about, like, yeah, he probably shouldn't have moved at all. Because, like, man's got in the water and just exploded.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So we're going to migrate over into the little spoilery section of the podcast. So if you are not up to at least through Fishman Island, this is going to be your warning to dip out of here. But if you're reading along with us or watching along with us, next week is going to be a little different because the next three arcs are short. So we're going to be doing them together. So we're going to be doing the Reverse Mountain. I went a little too far forward. My bad. We're going to be doing the Loguetown arc, which is five chapters, chapter 96 to 100, or episodes 45, 48 to 53. 46 and 47 are filler. You can watch those if you want. Then we're going to be doing the review Reverse Mountain arc, which is another five chapters, 101 to 105, or episode 62 and 63. And then we have Whiskey Peak, which is going to be nine chapters, 106 to 114, or episode 64 to 67. So that's there you go if you want to read along with us. But if you haven't, you know, go rate us five stars on iTunes because that'd be pretty dope. Or Spotify, because it helps the podcast a ton. So go check that out. But that being said, can we talk about Arlong Park, please? Or not Arlong Park. the way that Arlong Park ties into some of the future arcs. Fishman Island.
So far down the line.
Like you said, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of chapters, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of episodes. And we get so much, like, so many details about, like, why Arlong was the way they are. And exactly like you said, Boom, like, the fact that he's not really a villain. He's just a bad guy that has a lot of reasons for why he is the way he is, right?
Really bad experiences.
It genuinely makes me wonder if Oda already knew what he wanted Fishman Island to be, but he hadn't built the world yet. And so, like, he was like, all right, well, eventually get there, but, like, he knew what he wanted because, like he said, like, Hachi saying the second best swordsman and the best one being Hayazo or whatever, like the blue tentacle, like, octopus guy that was able to, like, poison. That was always shit faced. being the obvious number one. Like, I think there's like even a part in Fishman Island where he was like, I'm the best swordsman on Fishman Island.
Yeah.
So, you know,
need to make sure you know.
Yeah, dude, that's so crazy to me that, like, literally, that was like in the 560s, 570s,
yeah,
or whatever, for episodes. And what, Arlong Park was in the 30s?
Yeah.
Like 20 to 40s or whatever?
Well, yeah, it's like, it's at the end of the day, like, we had that weird, like, it really shows that, hey, there is a lot of people that are stronger, right? Obviously, we see Jinbei being a warlord. I don't remember what Jinbei's bounty at that point was, but I think it was like
200, like, yeah, 70, something. I think, 270.
Yeah, and, like, Arlong's 20K, and it's like, we realize, because it's one of the things that I still, to this day, wonder, like, we know Jinbei is stronger than Arlong. That they show that in the backstories and things like that, but it makes me wonder, like, in terms of Arlong compared to all the other Fishman pirates that the Straw Hats deal with on Fishman Island, a lot of the issues that they had they never really struggled fighting against the Fishman pirates on Fishman Island at all, except for the moments where they were trapped in the water. And it's like, well, if Arlong had the advantage of being in the water, I wonder how that fight would have gone, and if Arlong would be I wonder if Arlong is more on the level of the people we meet at Fishman Island, or if he is weaker. I don't know, because we never really get to see him really fight in the water.
I never really thought about that. You know, I guess like the potential difference in strength between the fishmen that we see in Arlong Park compared to the ones down in the island.
Right? Like if Arlong wanted to, he could have just gone in the water and found other ways to beat them. Be like, nah, you're coming to my territory to fight, right?
Yeah, it would have been a completely different story. Yeah. Honestly, One Piece would have been extremely short.
That is true.
Well, I mean, I do that sometimes where I'm thinking, like, so what if Luffy had second gear? You know, what if he was able to do everything that he's able to do now that he could do then? Like, dude, Arlong Park would have been, 10 minutes. Like, they would have showed up.
If that.
Destroyed everybody. You know. And they also didn't have Frankie, so it's like
I'll send Usopp down there. He'll get it together. You know?
Yeah, like
he'll take him out easy.
So it genuinely makes me wonder because Fishman Island set it up where it looked like you said, Jinbei was stronger than Arlong, but like not so much stronger where Jinbei just could like disrespect him, right? Like it looked like they could go toe to toe with Jinbei finally winning. Yeah. As opposed to just like Jinbei just being a bully or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Like, I think that's the only problem with having a series this long. Like, you can have to continue to scale up how strong people are. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, like, that makes the flashbacks that you may see later on. I don't want to say retcons because it doesn't necessarily retcon, but it like, you know, you have to have a little bit of disbelief to in the sense of like, okay, maybe Arlong was stronger than we assumed, and that makes Luffy better than what we assumed early on.
Well, I think that's why he has to make certain like small changes, right? I think that's why we see Mihawk, right? They're like, hey, just to make it clear, here's this guy of literally unimaginable power, and not only does this guy have unimaginable power, he ain't mad. They just woke him up from his nap, right?
Yeah.
Like he spared Zoro.
It is kind of crazy that he followed them, though. That he was like, I'm gonna follow these guys who just did all this shit and then destroy them still. Like it's kind of crazy.
So it's like I do feel like they did a good job of setting the ceiling, and like you know, obviously they cripple Zoro, they cripple Luffy. Luffy cripples himself.
Yeah.
But like it is like, and Arlong's cockiness. I think if Arlong, like you said, was a villain and not a bad guy, and he was able to think and strategize a little bit more instead of just, fuck you, I am a fishman and you are a human and you don't look down on me, because I feel like that was his thing. Is I feel like Arlong almost wanted to prove, like, fishmen are so superior, I can take you on land. And I feel like if he would have strategized and been like, all right, I can destroy this dude if we are in the water, he could have probably changed that outcome.
And I think Oda can actually use that to his advantage when telling the story, is that Arlong was so cocky about being specious against humans that maybe he underassumed what Luffy could do, and that's why he lost, as opposed to like truly using his full power to win. Maybe it's just like he thought he was either going to blow through that fight and Luffy caught him off guard. course, you know, the last half, like, Mance could have showed up if that was the case. But, you know, I can see, like, Oda does a really good job of, like, not pigeonholing himself in a situation, it seems like. A lot of authors, especially, as long as, like, this has been going on, I feel like he's done a really good job of, like, being vague enough with everybody to, like, where it's like, oh, yeah, like,
you know, he can come back and, like, make a little change.
Like, some bullshit. You know? Like, But yeah, I don't know. Like, I appreciate about the story, but, like, I find myself still not, like, I know Arlong went through some shit, but it's also, like, one of those things to where it's, like, other people seem to move past it. Like, you know, and he stayed mad. And I actually, like, what it does, it makes me hate that that was his undoing, was how angry he was in the end.
When
other people are trying to, like, you know, like, not necessarily move past it, but, like, heal. You know, and figure out a way to do that.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just some people, like, just struggle with being able to let go, right? I mean, we see it with Hody being, like, almost like a mirror image of Arlong, right? Like, the kids that grew up looking up to him. So, to, you know, to him and his crew, it was like, you know, they listened to him because it was like, well, what he's saying makes sense. And I mean, it does. I mean, you know, obviously at that point in the story, especially during Arlong Park, obviously, one, we don't know about the whole slavery thing. We don't know about what happened to the Fishman Pirates. Right. We don't know about any of that. But we don't even know about the Celestial Dragons at that point. We don't even know slavery is a thing, period. At this point in the story, we just know there's strong dudes in the Grand Line, and the Marines and are fishmen. The Marines are a little corrupt. Like, that's pretty much the extent of what we know at this point in the story.
I mean, even at this point in the story, it's not that the Marines are corrupt. The Marines look like they're just weak as fuck at this point in the story.
Yeah. Well, they say why? Because if any of the strong ones, they just ship them off to the Grand Line.
Yeah, because every Marine that we've encountered so far has literally been ass.
Oh, yeah, absolutely nothing.
Or paid off.
Now that I'm thinking about it, every one of them, there hasn't been, the only one that could be considered good, and that's just because it was literally one page, was Garp. That's it.
Yeah,
like, everyone else has just been ass. Now
we got to remember too, the East Blue is the weakest blue, right? Like, they say that it's the weakest blue, and it's funny because you have Sanji who comes to East Blue, and it's like, Sanji's not from the East Blue, Zeff's not from the East Blue, right? Pretty much, you go through it. Luffy's one of the only motherfuckers from the East Blue who, like, you know, him and Nami and Usopp, but right, Usopp's not super strong, Nami's not super strong, Luffy's kind of the one outlier, but at the same time, I don't even know. We don't even technically know if Luffy is from the East Blue, right? Like, we obviously know the details about, like, you know, Luffy being, you know, taken and brought to the East Blue by Garp, but, like, we don't actually, I don't think we ever get confirmation, at least up to where the three of us are at, on where Luffy actually was born.
He's being very silent, so I appreciate that.
I wasn't even gonna comment on it. I wasn't gonna say nothing.
Well played.
I don't know. It's one of those things.
Like, I said at the beginning that it wasn't gonna happen. You know.
I appreciate that more than you know, right?
I hate spoilers. I hate it.
No, but adding what the Sione said, like, even Captain Morgan, who literally has an axe for a fucking arm. Like, man's got that job because he was hypnotized to think that he captured Kuro.
Yeah.
So it's like, all the Marines, dude, they're trash at this point. I didn't really think about that until you said it, and now it's all I can think about is just how bad.
Like, how bad a representation of the Marines we've seen so far. Wow, they really, like, everything that we've seen so far about the Marines has been like, wow, they're weak as fuck. They're worthless. Like, the pirates are the ones that are actually freaking calling the shots out here.
And it didn't change until what? The arc right after? No, because we ran into
Smoker.
Smoker actually, you know, was putting up a way bit better fight than everybody else.
Like,
actually,
he can't hurt Luffy.
Luffy's like, I got to run away from this dude. I can't do nothing about him. You know, I got to get up out of here. So,
that's like, even when the actual Navy that wasn't bought off by Arlong, like when they fired the cannonball, like dude literally ate it. Like
he caught when he caught the fucking cannonball, dude. Oh god, I forgot about that scene.
Like a fucking
bomb.
Really?
Oh god, like, not a threat at all.
No, literally, dude does not give a shit in any way.
Man. Arlong is terrifying,
bro. Dude, he is. Like, I feel like it makes me kind of sad that, like, looking at what Arlong was, like, if he could have been used for later arcs and stuff like dude could have been an in-game villain for how, like, strong he was. Like, it's kind of like what you guys mentioned, where it's like him being so damn angry at everything was what fucked him over. Like, it literally ruined, like, Mans could have, like, crocodile appeal right now where, like, you know, he just, like, you know, put on a coat, become more badass, and could you imagine him at, like, Marine Ford, like, running around doing, like, the bullet drill thing through people and shit? Like, like, getting him out at, like, Impel Down or something? Like, that
would,
like, he could have added so much more to the world, but I don't know, like, going back and reading this, and I'm lucky to have just got done with Fishman Island 2 weeks ago, something like that.
Yeah, I think it makes this arc so much more impactful.
Like, especially, the Jinbei stuff. It
put everything in it does that.
Kind of aligned perfectly, you know? We're talking about Arlong Park now, and you just finished Fishman.
Like, we've been talking about how, like, there's going to be that moment where you just want to go back and read it again. And, you know, I've talked about it, like, you haven't gotten to this arc yet. But, like, there is an arc in the future that you are going to read and you're going to be like, son of a fucking bitch, I need to go back and reread Baratie again. Because you're like, I know I'm going to notice some shit that I didn't before. And it's like, just the way Oda does that is such, like, it's honestly impressive that you could take something that is 60, 70 chapters into the story and in chapter fucking 850 or 900 or whatever chapter it is, it's like, you remember that? And I just know, and I know there's going to be more, you know what I mean? Like, I'm sure there's going to be moments, like, you know, we have Dragon's Introduction and Loguedown. I'm sure there's going to be moments, whether maybe it's in chapter 1500, I don't fucking know, but it's going to be in one of the future arcs where you're going to go back and you're going to be like, notice a tiny little detail that, like, you can't believe that they managed to implement something like that. And it's just a very interesting way of telling a story. And I think it's just because he fleshes out more than just the main cast. Like, he puts almost as much time on the side characters in the arc as he does on the main cast.
It's actually kind of crazy now to kind of thinking about it. I don't think there's a series, any other series, that does it like this. I guess Oda himself,
I can think of
it being such a big story and him having to cover so many things, you know, and the planning through it all, you know, for the future and everything. Definitely one of a kind. I know there's other series that's thousands of chapters, but I don't think they'll be hitting like this, you know. I don't think it'll be set up like this.
I mean, there's not a lot. Like I know there's, like, Detective Conan or whatever.
I think 1100, Evo. I think.
As far as I know, that's more just like, hey, it's a new chapter. We're solving another murder mystery, right? And it's like,
As far as I know,
I might be completely wrong. Feel free to correct me, but that's what I've heard.
I think that's kind of, or here it's like called Case Closed or something like that. But yeah, it's very much. Let's see. I'm looking up things that, like, have those, over
what's
a
that fucking
thousand
show
chapters.
That people's parents always used to fucking watch. That stupid CIS. You know what I'm talking about. Like, that shit, they always used to be on the TV at everybody's fucking house.
Yeah. EPO started in 1989 and it's still going. It is.
Damn.
I'm not sure. Somebody was telling me, I think EPO is at like 1400 chapters or something at this point.
What?
Yeah, it's wild, bro.
I didn't know that. Oh my god.
So one was called Dokubin, and it went from 1972 to 2018.
How many chapters?
Let's see. I want a dude.
I mean, even JoJo's, which is from the 80s, is apparently about 900-ish, 1,000 chapters.
Really?
And that's for the whole thing, and it's been out since the 80s. Like,
I mean, Yeah,
it's one of those. It seems like it's kind of like JoJo's, to where it's like it's only got 48 volumes, but I also don't know how many, like,
like the release schedule. Or
yeah,
like
dude might have put in 100 chapters of volume or something, right? Like, so it's like that GoGo 13 is like number two. It's not saying how many. Oh, right here is so Kochiri Katsu. Yeah, I'm not reading all that. It's got 1,960 chapters. Cooking Papa has 1488.
That makes sense. Why?
Yeah, JoJo's is 957.
I always wonder why GoGo 13, like, they meme on it so fucking hard, and I'm like, dude, why? I'm like, I haven't even heard of it.
Something called Little.
That many fucking chapters? Yep. Uh huh.
Something called Little Rascal Kobo-chan has 13,000.
What? Say that again. Little Rascal Kobo-chan.
Little Rascal Kobo-chan. It says it has 13,000 chapters. Started in '82 and is still going. It's got to be like a comic strip.
That can't be.
Dude.
Yeah, that can't. That's got to be like 2-page chapters. I mean,
yeah, like it's like got to be a strip.
Wait, you said 1987?
82, I think.
So 82. So 18 years of put it at 2000. So let's just round up to 40. So you said 14,000?
13,352.
All right, 13,300. Divided by 40. That means they put out 332 chapters a year.
That's got to be a comic strip. It's got to
Yeah.
What do they do? Like, they put one out every day?
One a day?
Like,
yeah, well, I mean, if it's a comic strip, it would be almost. What? Yeah.
That's got to be like the Batman shit. Like, yo, there's a different writer every day. Exactly. We got five authors. Yeah, a different story every day.
Is that Batman in Japan, Little Rascal? Like, is that the transition over there? Translation.
This has an anime.
I don't know. We'll find out.
63 episodes.
Jesus Christ.
From Crunchyroll.
Oh man.
What?
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to.
Yeah, right there's now. Like I said, it comes down to like One Piece is like not necessarily one of a kind, but it is like it's one of only stories that is told in the way it is that it's that long, and I feel like that's why you get the moments that you get and the tie-ins that you get and everything like that. You know, One Piece the GOAT. Like My Hero is Trash said with their 5-star review, One Piece is the GOAT. Amazing podcast. This podcast has got me to read One Piece again, and I can't wait to see all the things I could have missed when I first read One Piece. Ruff, please start the manga immediately when you catch up to the anime, because I promise you don't want to be spoiled for things that have just happened and for things that will be happening. Yeah, I've already made that decision that once I catch up to the anime, I'm
That's
not
what
waiting.
You're doing?
Yeah, I'm not waiting. I don't give a fuck. I'll watch the episodes every time it comes out. Yeah, no, I just refuse. Because my whole reason why, like, I've pushed it into high gear. Like, I'm in Whole Cake now, and, like, Dressrosa is still happening on YouTube. Like, I've been going hard because I just want to fucking like, I'm just like, I want
it's crazy,
but it's because like, I'm sick of every time I open Twitter, I have to see like wanted panic scroll. One Piece panic scroll. It's at the point where now it's
like
whether it's One Piece
right
or not.
Well,
what's weird is whether it's One Piece or not. And now, anytime I see black and white, I automatically assume it's One Piece manga, and I panic scroll. Regardless of if it's One Piece, I don't know. I just immediately, I can't
That's
look at
That's what I
this.
Used to do all the time.
And I'm just like, I just don't want to have to deal with it. Like, I'm like, no. I'm like, if I'm catching up, I'm fucking catching up. Like, I want to be safe. I'm sick of this shit. But, yeah, I just, you know, spoilers. It's a long series. Spoilers are hard to dodge. So, I hope you all have been enjoying the podcast. Remember, like I said, next episode we are going to be doing Reverse Mountain, Whiskey Peak, and Logue Town. It's actually Logue Town, Reverse Mountain, and Whiskey Peak in that order. Chapter 96 to 114, or episode 45 to 67. Remember, 46 and 47 are filler. If you want to skip that, that's your choice. Make that decision yourself. But yeah, thanks for hanging out. ED Anime, thank you for joining us on this podcast.
Yeah, dude.
And remember, we all have individual channels, so go to the description box below and go sub to people. He does One Piece stuff. He does One Piece stuff. The dude over there to the left of me, he's doing One Piece because Sione's a crackhead. And my internet's doing terrible, and you guys all look pixely. So we'll see you next week or in two weeks. Bye.